So you're trying to tell me that one of the victims who was shot at the Bondi Beach shooting is one of Israel's top propagandists who just so happened to be there and October 7th and survived them both? Meet Arsen Ostrovsky, a lawyer who resides in both Australia and in Israel, who just so happened to be at the Bondi Beach shooting and was shot in the head but managed to survive his wounds. Now, I need you all to understand, this guy is one of Israel's top propagandists. It is literally his job to go after any and everybody who criticizes Israel. And it would be one thing if he was a top Israeli propagandist. It was at October 7th and managed to survive. And another thing if he was a top Israeli propagandist, was shot in the head at Bondi Beach and was only there and managed to survive. But when you are at both and you managed to survive both and your first instinct is to stop, drop, and take a selfie after allegedly being shot in the head, you're gonna get some side eyes, deservedly so. This guy was part of the quote-unquote legal dream team assembled to challenge the ICC arrest warrants against Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Gallant. This dude is the same one who went on X and said that there are no civilians in Gaza, only accomplices. And yet this dude got shot in the head and decided, you know what? I need to pull out my phone, take a picture, and post on X to show everyone how much distress I am experiencing at the moment. Because otherwise, how will Israel be able to weaponize this against all their anti-Zionist enemies? Once again, Israel, y'all making it more and more difficult to beat those false flag accusations. And when you couple this information with the fact that one of those gunmen was researched in Tel Aviv days before this attack took place, it's starting to look more than just a little bit suspicious. And that's just like a super crazy coincidence that if there was gonna be somebody to get shot in the head and survive, it just so happened to be the legal defense of Bibi Netanyahu for the Gaza massacre that he's committing. It just so happened to be somebody who was in Israel and survived October 7th, and he just so happened to get shot in the head and survive. Like, what are the odds of that alone happening? The jig is up, Israel. Like,
Scott with SJWellfire.com. Final Days Report, episode 469. Looks like another false flag mass shooting in Bondi, Australia, along with other incidents. And we've been warning that Jews, you're going to be attacked, but you're going to be attacked with these false flags by your own people funding it. Central bankers, the Zionist state. And it's a history that has been going on since the 40s.
But the two cases that really got us, first of all, there was a false flag attack in London in 1994, where a car bomb exploded outside the Israeli embassy in the center of London.
Now, I remember this vaguely. We're talking 14 years ago.
It's a long time
but
ago.
But it was huge at the time. I mean, it was a huge worldwide story.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, there'd been an earlier attack against some Jewish interests section in Buenos Aires earlier that year as well. Similar sort of MO, modus operandi, with a car bomb driven and parked outside that exploded. Very minor injuries, that was all. Okay. Nobody was killed. And it was a very sophisticated device. It appeared to eat itself, eat all the forensics. Now, this is very, very rare. Even the IRA, which is a very sophisticated terrorist organization, could not make bombs that effective. So it looked like a sort of fairly technical person had put that together. But what emerged from that, the senior MI5 officer, who was in charge of the investigation into it and had seen all the evidence but also all the intelligence, which isn't necessarily admissible in court, wrote his formal assessment at the end of the case. And he said he reckoned that Mossad, the Israeli external intelligence agency, had bombed their own embassy, a sort of controlled explosion outside the embassy. And as I said, that was a senior MI5 officer. That was his formal verdict. If you read that on the internet now, you would say that sounds like some mad conspiracy theory. But it wasn't. This was the official position of MI5. And he said that they did it for two reasons. One, they were always hassling MI5 for increased security around their embassy and other interests in London. Because, of course, London had a reputation of giving safe haven to Arab dissidents from around the world at that point. And MI5 kept saying, well, there's no reason to increase the threat assessment. You don't need extra protection. So letting off a controlled explosion outside, of course, they immediately got what they wanted there. But crucially, two innocent Palestinians were arrested, charged and convicted of conspiracy to cause that attack. And they were very active in a Palestinian support network in London, political campaigning for the people on the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. And they were gaining some traction in the media. They were getting quite a lot of support. So by arresting these people and framing them from an attack and sticking them in prison, the whole network just shattered and hasn't got back on its feet to this day. So that would be a clear political advantage.
I'm going to play a video from Redacted with a colonel that came to the same conclusion. I said, if you're Jewish, watch out. There are going to be massive false flags against you. They're going to be gruesome, but it's going to be funded by your own. And the reason? They want to ban the Bible. They want Noah Hyde laws, and they need AI to monitor the net. All of that is coming true right before your eyes. But if you're not familiar with the incident in Bondi Beach, let's read the incident details. A terrorist mass shooting occurred by Bondi Beach, Sydney, during a Hanukkah celebration organized by Chabad of Bondi. Around 1,000 people attended, right? Chabad Lubavitch, where Trump goes and prays to Schneerson and other global leaders. Very, very powerful. Keep that in the back of your mind. Casualties, when I wrote this, 16 people killed. Pulling at your heartstrings, 10 to 87, including a 10-year-old girl, a Holocaust survivor, and a rabbi. Dozens injured, up to 42 hospitalized, one gunman killed by police. But there was a massive stand down, just like October 7th.
Can you tell me what happened?
Yes, there was 2 shooters, one on the bridge, one under the bridge, just started to shoot for 20 minutes. They shoot, change the magazine and just shoot. Simple as that. 20 minutes, was 4 policemen there. Nobody gave fire back. Nothing, like they are froze.
Again, you need to think about this. If you're Jewish, a stand down for 7 to 8 hours to maximize the slaughter. That's what this appears to be. The attackers, father-son duo, Shajad Akram, 50, and Naveed Akram, 24, critically injured and under guard, used legally obtained firearms. Oh, so now the solution is to make it difficult to get firearms. And this is hilarious. Car contained ISIS flags, marker of a false flag, and improvised explosive devices. Just like the history has told us with ISIS, that ISIS fighters actually were Israelis. Remember Israel in Syria? They were treating ISIS soldiers on the battlefield. Obama was bombing. The actual bombing runs were helping ISIS. ISIS is USA Inc. and Mossad and the IDF, Israel. I pray that the true identity of these people comes out.
And with this one, there was all kinds of stuff that people were posting. Like, for example, here's one. A bunch of people were saying they did like an image search, and it's actually this guy, David Cohen. Must have been another coincidence. And he was in the IDF, and he's supposedly the guy that that shot these people. And it was all weird, like, everything you see about it, none of it makes any sense, which is totally normal for these sort of things. Could that guy have been IDF, Mossad? Absolutely possible. Like, that's almost always the case.
The motive, declared a terrorist incident motivated by anti-Semitism inspired by the Islamic State, ISIS. ISIS has never attacked Israel, by the way. Ideology. Gunmen reportedly traveled to the Philippines for possible training shortly before the attack. What's interesting, I'm going to play a colonel on Redacted talking about how she's been following these false flags. And Philippines has something to do with this because there are military CIA bases in the Philippines. And he was shooting very, very quickly. Manchurian candidate, mind-controlled optogenetics that we always talk about. And get this heroic act. Bystander Ahmed Al-Ahmed disarmed one gunman, saving lives despite being injured, hailed as a hero internationally. This, I think, primes the narrative of Jews and Muslims can come together from that rabbi that we talked about where they worship the same God, the Abrahamic one God worship, where even though in the Old Testament you have Jesus, you have God the Father, and you have the Holy Ghost. You have the Trinity in the Old Testament, but it just, there's a narrative here of let's come together. So after massive war, the Antichrist comes on the scene with this AI hookup. There's going to be this Noahide coming together. We've played multiple videos of rabbis talking about how Muslims will accept Noahide laws. Then we have Netanyahu, which Redacted, this video I'm going to play from this colonel, goes a little bit deeper into his comments, blaming Iran, which doesn't make any sense. I condemned the attack as cold-blooded murder in the act of anti-Semitism, blamed Australian policies. That's funny, blaming Australian policies, the recognition of the Palestinian statehood. No, the ISIS shooters, supposedly from what we're told, would be happy what Australia did. Claimed he warned the Prime Minister of Australia in August that such policies would reward terrorism and encourage Jew hatred. Now, not the genocide that's happening in Gaza. See, it doesn't make sense. This screams narrative control. And we're going to show how this primes social media AI monitoring. That is one thing Redacted did not cover. There's two goals. They need artificial intelligence to monitor everything you say under the guise of anti-Semitism, and they need to ban the Bible or rewrite the Bible and take out any hate speech that the Jews had anything to do with Christ's crucifixion, and also the, you know, talking against sin. That's why we've been programmed so much with Hollyweird and big academia and big pharma and the medical industrial complex of love is love. Defiling kids, changing their sex. It's crazyville. The Australian response, the Prime Minister of Australia called it an act of pure evil and anti-Semitism, rejected any link to the Palestinian policy, though vowed stronger gun law reforms and resources to combat anti-Semitism. But once you realize this is probably a false flag from the Israeli government, central bankers funding this, when you look at the telltale signs of a false flag, you start to go, hmm. And during this Redacted video, they basically said, Jews, your biggest enemy are the Zionists, the Israeli government. And I'm going to throw in the central bankers from the dream that I had. Final Days Report 289. This is a Watchman end of days ministry. If the Watchman does not blow the trumpet, the blood's back on his head. And I had a dream, a Jewish central banker basically was funding the slaughter of Jews. We have October 7th in the stand down, told by famous rabbis, former IDF leaders, former IDF soldiers that sat on the wall, spy that Trump pardoned, his helicopter pilot buddies told the stand down. I mean, it's right in front of you. Why? Control free speech. Ban the Bible. Just some of the videos, 289, 319, 340, Final Days Report. Check some of those out. And I've probably done 10 others. Beyond this AI surveillance state that they're building, and a poll in every city, and pushing Noah Hyde laws, this fake millennial reign that's coming, that people will sign up for. You also have this urgency for Jews to move back to Israel. I'm going to play a quick video that I thought was interesting. So if you terrorize Jews, where are they going to feel safe? And the second video I'm going to play talks about the Greater Israel program, where Netanyahu is basically warning Australians that Arabs are your enemies. But you need to ask the question, why the open borders in Western nations? It's a playbook. We've identified within this ministry who funded it, how it was allowed. It was a plan, order out of chaos. Expect big false flags, my friends.
We just watched a clip where Nick Fuentes says, get the blank out of here. He wants us out. He wants the Jewish people out of America. Now, people like you and I, we actually believe that the Jewish people are being called home to the homeland. We believe that the greatest project of the Jewish people in 2,000 years is the ingathering of the exiles. We've been working for years to help Jewish people consider leaving America and to come to the land of Israel. So isn't Nick Fuentes, in a sense, an unpleasant, but in some ways a welcome change? Isn't he a guy who is out there saying, you don't belong here anymore,
you don't belong here anymore. He says, that was fun. It was fun to be with you, but we're done. You got to go to your homeland. Is he basically a voice of God? Is he a messenger that's saying to people, okay, you know, the American Jewish Project is over. It had its peak. It was great. And at its peak, it did many great things for the world. It created world stability. It helped the economy of the world through America. It also helped buttress the Jewish state for a while. But now Israel doesn't need it. It doesn't need American help anymore. And the American Jewish Project is now at its, you know, it's already on the other side of the peak. It's already in its downward spiral. And he says he's helping it out. He's saying, like, get out.
A lot of Jews are like, we have to fight the Fuentes. We have to fight the Tucker Carlson. We have to fight for the truth. No, at a certain point, I don't know if you remember, when the Jews came after the spies and they had this terrible sin where they spoke against the land of Israel. And that, and Moses said, none of you are going to enter. The next day they woke up and said, let's go fight and win. And Moses said, God is not with you. And there was a terrible loss. This is not a fight that we're going to win. We're not going to win this fight of we should stay in America because the rights and the principles that America was founded upon of equality, that's not going to win. The message here is that it's time to come home.
They hate Israel. They hate Jews. Let me tell you, they also hate Australia. Yeah. They burn our flag, but they'll burn your flag and they'll burn you. Yeah. So understand that they're against our common civilization.
Looking at the shooting in Australia, we always have to ask ourselves, who benefits? I can tell you that it's showing the Muslim world. They're trying so hard to push this Muslim extremist narrative when the one hero that jumped on the shooter with no regards for his personal safety was in fact a Muslim man named Ahmed. Anyways, just after the shooting happened, as if it was time, you got the Israel Prime Minister blaming Iran to give himself an excuse to complete his carnage of the Middle East. This guy is now asking for harsher sanctions against anti-Semitism while still conducting a genocide that we're all witnessing in high definition. It's pretty unreal if you think about it. Now let's go back in time for a second and look at 9/11. Do you think the Muslim world benefited from these attacks? The whole place is torn apart. Even the Israeli Prime Minister said that they benefited the most from 9/11. And what did we get? More surveillance, more division, and more troubles at the airport. In the end, the only people who benefit from terror attacks are the demonic elite that plans them and couldn't give a damn about race or religion. They use race and religion to keep us divided while slowly putting us into this AI surveillance system. I'm sorry, but we're not falling for this one.
Let's play more false flag evidence from Redacted.
And all of the pieces coming together now, why is Mossad there investigating it? Why did Benjamin Netanyahu admit that he sent a warning letter to the Prime Minister of Australia just a few short weeks ago, letting him know that he didn't appreciate his position on having a Palestinian state? So I guess in other words, it's your fault that these individuals were attacked. So we're going to talk about that plus so much more.
The logic is really nonsensical because they're saying it was ISIS, which is the enemy of Iran, but Iran did it. So we need to bomb Iran and Australia. It's their own fault because they validated Palestinian state. I really don't get it. Maybe we can have some guests break it down because, I feel like all I have to do is shout, well, anti-Semitism. So stand down on all of that. And then We're not supposed to make those connections. But we're still going to try because I don't want war. I don't think most people do. We're also going to talk about how false flags work. We're going to continue to talk about that.
We're watching NATO's strategy of tension plan unfolding right before our eyes. Two potential false flag attacks over the weekend. One on Bondi Beach in Australia, killing 16 people. It was 15. Now it's been updated to 16. One in Rhode Island at Brown University, where two students were killed, both reportedly targeting Jews specifically. And now Israel's intelligence service, Mossad, is now on the scene in Sydney, Australia, as part of this investigation. Why? Well, Colonel Roxanne Towner-Watkins posted this a short time ago. Now you know why Mossad is on the scene. It's to deploy a narrative that exactly corresponds to the worldwide deployment of anti-Semitic teams to control anti-Semitism. You require attacks to justify the deployment. Expect more. And we are. And Colonel Towner-Watkins joins us here on the show. It seems like maybe Candace Owens was right on this a few weeks ago. She said, put a pin in this tweet, that there are seemingly a number of false flag attacks scheduled for like the second week of December. So it seems like everything is going according to plan. Colonel, great to see you.
Great to see you too. Thanks for having me on.
So is this part of a broader strategy, or is this simply two individuals, a father-son team, who just happened to want to take out a Hanukkah celebration?
So obviously, over the years that I've been studying these false flags, I have some indicators. And the first thing Natalie's already pointed out, the initial narratives make no sense. If you actually dig into them, not just listen to them and accept them as gospel, the Australia recognizing Palestine as a state would engender Arabs to Australia. And right. Yet, exactly. Yeah. There's over 145 countries that have recognized Palestine as a state. And there is literally no correlation to having done that and having terror attacks. So the comment by Bibi Netanyahu is completely out of context, but it fits into a narrative. to justify the slaughter of these people. Obviously, you also pointed out the fact that they are directly connected to ISIS. And for people who don't follow my work, ISIS was originally, as well as Al-Qaeda, set up by the CIA. Right. And notice that ISIS never attacks Israel at all. But isn't that weird?
Right. And when you look and you see the training, you see the firing of the gun in any of the videos of the individual, the son specifically firing the weapons. People have timed his long rifle shots to, I think here it is, like five shots in like 4 seconds or four shots in 5 seconds, like a remarkable. And a lot of eagle eyed members of the military said this guy clearly had training.
So interestingly enough, we can jump to that. Do you know where he was 2 weeks ago?
No.
The Philippines. Now, weirdly enough, the Philippines comes up in, I would say, somewhere between 40 and 50% of events that I've looked into in weird ways. And I'm not saying that they're consistently and they all point to one thing, but the CIA used the Philippines for terrorist training camps during Vietnam. They have been known to fly people in there for training. So there's, you can just look in your own free time. There's a huge correlation. The Las Vegas shooting, the woman of the shooter from the Philippines. Several of the members of the Oklahoma bombing, Nichols being one of them, had went very numerous times to the Philippines. There's a weird, and I don't know what it is. I do know I verified their CIA terrorist training camps there. I don't know what all of the correlations are, but that is one of the telltale signs that come up in my research is a connection to the Philippines. And I also posted earlier, of course he visited the Philippines.
We have 9 strategic military bases in the Philippines. The U.S. has 9 strategic military bases in the Philippines, which is interesting.
Right. Now, I want to make this connection of who is getting involved, who is inserting themselves in the narrative within the first few hours. Now, already, again, we have this Iran connection, but it's poorly sourced. We have it from the Telegraph. It's, you know, sources say may have been linked. And again, why would Mossad have anything to do with this when the attack was on Australians? What they're doing is making this link that Israel makes a claim to worldwide Jews, no matter whether they want it or not. And they're saying this was our people. They were not Israelis. So can we explore that connection a little bit and how it's being exploited and what Benjamin Netanyahu says he now expects?
So they're obviously there to shape a narrative, that this is narrative deployment. And to have Mossad on the ground there is very critical to what gets exposed and what doesn't. And I would say there's zero connection to Iran that is documented, zero. As a matter of fact, there's even pictures on the Sun's Facebook of him in front of a library shelf of Sunni Islamic material. So there's literally no connection to Iran at all. That's another narrative deployment. And when these narrative deployments happen with no factual basis, the point of doing that in the media is get people to then source that false report and other reports so that you can deploy that narrative. There has to be somebody to report it. And sources say that sources means the intelligence told them to write this article so that we can then source that article and all of the rest of the articles to deploy the narrative.
Makes sense.
You know, also, well, there's so many things I want to unpack with you here. The police presence here, if you look, eyewitnesses said the police showed up and they stood down for about 20 minutes. They allowed the shooter to continue, even though there's a police station right next to Bondi Beach. So there was tons of police there, but they stood around essentially and watching this for about 20 minutes and did nothing. We're hearing a lot of like these stand down orders in the past few years.
Like October 7th, doesn't it?
Yes. At least it wasn't 7 hours of standing down, but you know, 20 minutes is a lot, is enough for a lot of innocent people on the beach to be shot and killed.
But you have those in school shootings as well. Right. Where like Uvalde, where everybody just kind of stands around and lets the massacre happen. And then, you know, OK, we'll move in. To me, that's a clear indication that there's planning ahead of time. There, in one of the videos, they even show a cop guy going by that bridge while the shooter's actively shooting.
So like, right. What's going on down there?
You watch that full 10 minutes video. You can see him just go right by the bridge.
Yeah.
And he's just picking people off on that bridge area.
Yes. So. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just remarkable to me. And it's amazing what you point out about Iran. Almost immediately, Benjamin Netanyahu says Iran. And all of this coincides with what has unfolded at Brown University, targeting Jews there, reportedly. And then also, I found this very curious. We suddenly have this announcement about the New Year's Eve bombing in New Orleans. Do I have that correct?
I think so.
And they make the announcement that they were pro-Palestinian individuals who carried this out. So it took 1 year, almost a year, to get this. But it all comes out almost on the exact same day. It just seems odd.
Very narrative-driven.
What would you
and
say?
That's what I look for.
I'm sorry. What would you say to someone who says, "Oh no, Israel needs to get involved because of the Five Eyes Agreement and because Israel's the only one who is going to speak out on and protect Jews"? And I say, "Oh well, that's interesting because October 7th, not to mention the attacks from the Zionists in the 40s on global Jews." So, what would you say to that? Like, "Oh no, they are going to do right by global Jews. They need to be the ones in charge here."
Well, history doesn't bear that out, obviously. I'll give you an example. The recent today. Multiple tweets of or posts on X of Laura Loomer and her insistence that we need to recreate the JDL, the Jewish Defense League. If anybody knows that history, the JDL was a terrorist organization that was caught multiple times. Like in one case in Philadelphia, they were dressing up and hosting a Nazi parade under a false name when the guy's name that did it was actually Mordecai Levy. And so they deploy these narratives, and there's way too many to name in just a news segment, but there's multiple occurrences where and I said to Clayton before we went on the air, when you have to actually create anti-Semitic events, you don't actually have anti-Semitism. Because if anti-Semitism was so prevalent, you wouldn't have to create events to claim they're anti-Semitic. And yet throughout history from 1948 till today, there you see a perpetual wave of false portrayal of Jewish people pretending to be something other than Jewish people in order to trigger an attack on the Jewish people so they can claim anti-Semitism.
But what you're saying, go ahead, David.
I was just gonna say real quick, it's like a mass Jesse Smollett situation.
Yes, yes.
But this means, if it's correct, and I believe you, that Jewish people are at risk from the Jewish state. That they are constant bait.
So obviously everybody knows there's a difference between Zionists and Jewish people.
Yes.
There is a plethora of Jewish people that obviously have never moved to Israel because they do not want to be governed under the Zionist tent. And they're very vocal. You just don't ever hear them on national news because no one wants to show the other side of that. It's just like when you go overseas and all you hear as an American when you're stationed overseas is things that are put out by the primary channels and the New York Times and the Washington Post. So you can live for 3 years overseas as a military person and have no clue what's going on in your own country because you're saturated with CIA talking points posing as media coverage. And I experienced that firsthand. And that's the case with people that live inside of Israel and the Jewish people that live outside of Israel.
You know, Max Blumenthal, friend of the show, great journalist from the Gray Zone. He's Jewish, by the way. I guess they call him a self-loathing Jew because he tells the facts. But nevertheless, he reported back in February of this year about these paid actors that the Israeli government was investigating for carrying out, quote unquote, anti-Semitic attacks or threats against Jewish institutions and other things like that. And you rightly pointed out to me that this goes back many, many years where bomb threats being carried out against the Australian government. But where were those bomb threats coming from, Colonel?
Israel.
They
arrested the person doing it and then wouldn't share the identity of the person that they arrested. And they were that same individual, once the identity was leaked, was making hundreds of bomb threats to Jewish entities in the United States at the same time.
And he was an Israeli young person. He was like when 20 years old or something like that, making bomb threats. So this is there's a pretty big history here in Australia of these anti-Semitic attacks coming from, quote unquote, paid actors. Like, who are these paid actors in your experience?
Is it anti-Semitic to point a finger at the one settler colonial state that benefits from anti-Semitism that justifies its existence on the proliferation of global anti-Semitism?
That is a dangerous question to be asking, my friend. That's, I would say, the kind of question that can get you taken off the internet for asking, which makes it all the more important to ask it. Now, earlier this year, CBS News, before it was taken over by the Ellisons and Barry Weiss, reported that the Australian police were saying that these string of seemingly anti-Semitic terrorist incidents were really a, quote, con job to sow chaos. They say that authorities in January made the unusual claim that none of the 12 they had arrested in relation to the spate of crimes in Australia's largest cities, Sydney and Melbourne, were driven by anti-Semitic ideology and were instead criminals for hire. And who could perhaps be hiring these guys? This is an article from The Guardian from 2017, and they reported that an Israeli teenager was charged with making more than 2,000 hoax bomb threats to schools, Jewish centers, hospitals, and airlines in five different countries, alleged to have been behind 591 bomb threats against schools in Australia, Victoria police have confirmed. The 18-year-old is alleged to have robocalled schools in Victoria, Queensland, New South Wales, and the Australian Capital Territory in January of 2016. This is real, undisputed reporting that Israelis are maybe potentially pulling a little bit of a Jesse Smollett, if I may. The BBC also reported earlier this year that Australia's federal police have said that they are investigating whether overseas actors or individuals are paying local criminals to carry out anti-Semitic crimes in the country. And they say that there has been a spate of such incidents in recent months, the latest of which saw a childcare center in Sydney set alight and sprayed with anti-Jewish graffiti. Luckily, no one was injured in that particular incident.
Studying and reporting on Operation Gladio and these like terrorist stay behind armies, it's all theater. But who are these people?
They function in normal language. They function as intelligence assets as opposed to agents. And so the CIA is notorious for having assets perform functions that they can then blame on the people that they want. And the best example, and probably the most notorious that everybody remembers, is Barry Sill flying the drugs into the United States and rolling the bale of cocaine out on the tarmac and taking a quick picture of it, putting it back on and taking off, and then blaming the Nicaraguan government for being the drug traffickers. So these people that they use as assets, as opposed to paid agents on their payroll, perform all of these functions. So they had, like in Gladio in Italy, they literally had infiltrated the workers' union that had set itself up as the Red Brigade, as quote unquote communists. And then this brigade, the actual Gladio operators, dressed like they did with their little communist armbands and perpetrated bomb explosions and train stations and banks, killing a lot of people. And the government kept blaming it on the Red Brigade when in fact it was their Gladio operators the entire time. This is a known tactic that governments use to ensure their people seek the government for safety as opposed to being independent themselves.
So, you know, I can see that this looks very formulaic as somebody who studies the media representation of events that usually end up to be a lie. But I'm always like, maybe it's because I see everything like this that it looks like that. So is there any possibility, like let's sort of say, is there anything in the media reports that we can say maybe? Is there anything that we're not seeing because we are so matrix minded?
Yeah, can we pretend that Natalie's just a random Fox News viewer at the moment or a random CNN viewer and just engulfing this media narrative?
So, from my perspective, I'm probably as jaded as Natalie is at this point when it comes to the media, only because I have done the research and know that a large percentage of the media are assets on behalf of intelligence agencies. And it's been documented, it was in congressional testimonies in the 1970s, that all of the major networks, ABC at one point was basically owned by front of the CIA, Washington Post, the New York Times, they have people that function as a reporter and be fed approved articles, and all they do is slap their name on it. As a matter of fact, the guy that exposed it in Europe, whose name I don't remember, in Germany, they assassinated him. He wrote a book about it. This is just a known tactic. So I don't use mainstream media for any of my research at all. I do. I'll go back, like I was just doing, I'm reading a book now about the mafia and the savings and loan debacle. I'll go back and read what the New York Times and Washington Post was saying, as opposed to what the Houston, I think it was the Tribune, that had the editor that was breaking all of the mafia and CIA connections to the savings and loan failure. And they're night and day. One guy's actually on the ground writing, and not a single other mainstream media. It was not on news anywhere on mainstream television. And he's breaking story after story of the connections of the mafia and the CIA to the savings and loan debacle. And you would not even know it existed until about 10 years later.
Well, that's like the incredible work of Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein. Bob Woodward, CIA asset, who just magically managed to get all of this information about Nixon. It's remarkable how this works. Yes, trusting the mainstream media. You're referencing, of course, Operation Mockingbird, which is alive and well today. They're just now on the payroll and they're just on television. Just put Mike Pompeo on TV and give us the CIA narrative rather than hiding them in newsrooms.
Or Brennan.
Or James Clapper, John Brennan, all of these clowns that are now on TV and making money. Any final thoughts on this, Colonel? I mean, we're watching this unfold. What do you expect? How do the narratives of like these false flags usually play out over the next few days in your experience?
Well, what I'm watching is something brand new happen. In the past, they could get away with these narratives for 30 years. They can't do that anymore. You have people in real time breaking down the video. And that's why I honestly think Mossad was deployed to Australia, is to try to limit the amount of exposure and damage to the official narrative. It's amazing to me that all of this information, you mentioned Max Blumenthal, God bless him, because he's one of the, I don't share all of his opinions, but his investigative reporting is second to none. The real-time sourcing of information outside of the control doesn't allow them to perpetuate these narratives for very long at all. And that's very good for all of us, because they have to keep correcting the narrative. And the more they do that, the more exposed they are. So
there's a history of these actors to control you, and it's moving fast. And we've been warning about Trump going after free speech. Well, here it is, the State Department going to censor you. This is creepy. Rewriting textbooks for propaganda, censoring the net with their AI algorithms. You need to think about Facebook and all these social media companies where they're swearing in social media executives into the military. This is who can make war with the beast. And if you're Jewish, really read Isaiah 53 and 52. You need to get saved because your own state and these central bankers are coming after you. And it's going to get far, far worse. That dream I had in Final Days Report episode 289, women, children, gruesome. They're coming after you. The stories are going to get more sensational. But Isaiah 53, 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, talking about Jesus. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed.
The president is sending a very strong message. Think about it. Ironically, I get off a plane. I am the president's representative, and I am walking off with a yarmulke, and I have kosher food, and embassies will have kosher food. It is a game changer. The appointment is a game changer. And it's not about history. It's about education. And how do we educate? Indonesia has 350 million Muslims living in the country. How do we change their textbooks? How do we hold the people in Gaza accountable that if America is paying for UN textbooks and supposedly the changes are made, why are those textbooks not being used and why are they using their old textbooks? We have to teach people it's not okay to educate your kids to be a martyr. Okay? And we have to hold those countries accountable. How do we battle anti-Semitism on the internet? How are we doing better on algorithms? What companies can we work with? We are going to have a whole division within the office of the Special Envoy to combat anti-Semitism that is going to work on technology and working with the greatest leaders in technology, many of whom are Jewish and have offered their assistance. The office is going to be revamped entirely to be one of the highest profile offices in the State Department because that's what the secretary wants and that's what the president wants. So we are going to have a very, very strong mandate on education, on protecting people, and how are we able to make a huge difference in combating what goes on.
Did you hear him talking about rewriting and getting the right propaganda educational textbooks in Indonesia? That's the playbook for the Bible. They're going to rewrite the Bible because there's power in Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things that's very interesting is rabbis, or I like to call them rabbits, are actually, because you're not supposed to call anybody rabbi, right? So they actually say that Isaiah 53 is not about Jesus Christ, it's about Israel. And they quote how before, in earlier chapters, that is the case. But this is the second Exodus. This is the redemption. These rabbits are trying to get Christians to say this isn't Jesus Christ, but they'll try to convince Christians you need to worship Jews. It's creepy. It's absolutely creepy. But let's flat out cut the legs off of this doctrine. Isaiah 53:7 is about Jesus Christ. It's about redemption. He was opposed and he was afflicted. It's talking about Jesus, not Israel. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shears is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked. What did Jesus do? He went down to see the wicked in hell. And with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, if the synagogue of Satan thinks that this is about Israel, and it pleased them to bruise him, is this how they're justifying sacrificing their own? It's dawned on me when I was reading this. But here's where this is totally about Jesus. And again, Old Testament Jewish scholars, early days, said this is about Jesus. So this is a relatively new doctrine that this is about Israel and Israel only. But you need to look at Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 18 through 22. That is a sister passage, let the Bible define the Bible, that says this is about a singular person, because Jeremiah, who's being persecuted, uses the similar language here about the lamb being brought to the slaughter. But here he calls on God for vengeance. In Isaiah 53, it's about redemption. It's about Jesus. It's about the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ that died for your sins. I mean, it's mind-bending, right? But let's read Jeremiah 11, verses 18 through 22, because I'm warning you what these rabbits are teaching, and Christians are getting hoodwinked and switching to start worshiping Israel, the so-called promised people. No, with the 1,000 pastors going and worshiping the Baphomet, the star of Moloch, the woman of the book of Revelation, in my humble opinion. But let's read, and the Lord hath given me knowledge. Just talking about Jeremiah, they want to kill him. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showedest me their doings, but I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. This parallels what we just read in Isaiah. That's talking about Jesus. This is talking about Jeremiah, but he uses similar language. But, O Lord of hosts, that judges righteously, that triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on him. So it's about vengeance in Jeremiah 11 with God. Isaiah 53 is about redemption. It's about Exodus 2. It's about the new covenant. It's about believing on Jesus Christ, getting the Holy Ghost. And the other point I want to make, countering Isaiah 53 is not Israel. It is about Jesus Christ. Is Isaiah 52, behold, my servant, Jesus Christ, shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. They're not talking about all of Israeli people. Exalted very high, that's language of holiness and God. That would be blasphemy. So no, Isaiah 53 is not talking about the so-called chosen people. It's talking about Jesus Christ. And if you're Jewish, you're being sacrificed. You are being sacrificed. Come to Christ. Break from your traditions. Humble yourself. Get in the Word of God. I prefer the King James Version Bible. And realize we've been warning you. And there's a history thereof as well. Well, God bless. Thanks for your support.
We have to speak out against the kind of language that puts Jews at risk. We have to adopt policies that recognize that fighting anti-Semitism needs to be a priority. And we have to do more to make sure that on social media, what would never be tolerated on Main Street isn't tolerated online. The kind of language, the kind of calls for violence that put Jews at risk and that lead to the kinds of atrocities like we just saw in Bondi Beach.
Yeah, it's a horrible situation indeed.
Yeah.
The message is simple. Please, please listen to us when we tell you that the attacks against the Jewish community in word and in social media can and have led to violence, and that we all have to stand together to stop that from happening. Because when you see this kind of anti-Semitism on the rise and the violent, deadly attacks like this, it is not just an attack on the Jewish community. It's an attack on society and on democracy. We all have a stake in stopping this right now. But it's only going to happen if bold action is taken around the world, all of us standing together.
On est censé croire que cet homme est une victime touchée à la tête.
I got hit in the head. I'm bleeding. I've lost blood.
Mais assez en forme pour faire un beau selfie. Et visiblement, il adore être médiatisé. Toujours au bon endroit, au bon moment.
Looking wounded, Arson Ostrowski, a survivor of the October 7 massacre in Israel.
I survived October 7th.
J'ai fait des recherches et il n'est pas là par accident. C'est son métier.
It's important to use visuals in order to try and get a point across. I'll give an example here.
Arsène est un ingénieur de narratif.
Every action must have a goal. It must have a compelling story to tell.
Il le dit lui-même. Ses actions ont un but précis.
Fight anti-Semitism, to fight this bloodthirsty, ravaging hatred. That's why I'm here.
Le message doit être émotionnel et surtout pas ennuyeux.
You don't want to be dull and boring. No one's going to read that.
Effectivement, avec sa mise en scène, on s'ennuie pas. La veille, on prépare le terrain avec Erika, le 13 décembre.
Charlie and I have always been very clear on our stance, Israel, Jewish people.
Une opération sous faux drapeau, c'est quand on te dit qui regarder, quoi ressentir et quoi penser.
How could you hate the Jewish people?
Avant même que t'aies le temps de réfléchir.
Our daughter was killed because of anti-Semitism.
Pour conditionner émotionnellement le spectateur. Faire monter la tension. Le 14, attaque terroriste. Le choc. L'urgence morale.
We do not sit by and let these killers kill us.
Everything must change from today.
Et on propose de nouvelles lois pour un changement radical.
Laws need to be passed.
Au nom de la sécurité, on vous enlève encore des libertés.
Anti-Semitism is the threat.
Tout a été orchestré, comme d'habitude.
We have an incredible array of possibilities of creating foreign companies that have no way being traced back to Israel, shell companies over shell companies who affect the supply chain to our favor. We create a pretend world. We are a global production company. We write the screenplay. We're the directors. We're the producers. We're the main actors. The world is our stage.